Dr. Google can't fix your knee. The Joint Relief Institute can. Fast joint pain relief, covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
He was born and raised in Lynchburg, Tennessee. Daddy owns a big distillery. He's an old-time whiskey drinker. When I'm with him, I get meaner. And Mama says he's ruined my destiny. But he sure has made a woman out of me. I fell in love with Jack Daniels.
All right, it's Dave Plyer back with you on 720 WGN. So all the way back to 1866, Jasper Jack Daniel had the foresight to place his very own distillery at a source of limestone water flowing from a cave spring in Lynchburg, Tennessee. And 150 years later, Jack Daniel's has been at the forefront of whiskey making ever since. Now, Jack Daniel's assistant master distiller has a passion for this business, and most importantly, this iconic brand that has been handed down from generation to generation, as his grandfather was the master distiller for almost three decades, beginning in the late 60s. And to celebrate the 150th anniversary of the Jack Daniel's Distillery, live in studio is Jack Daniel's assistant master distiller, and that is Chris Fletcher. Chris, thanks for hanging out with us tonight.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm born and raised in Lynchburg, Tennessee. My parents' house is just down the street from the distillery, so I definitely kind of grew up in the shadows of the distillery a bit. My granddad was the distiller there for many years, and so, you know, I was a young guy. I was tagging along with him. A lot of times on Sunday afternoons, he would have to go in and set yeast for the next week's production for the fermentations, and so I'll tag along. And
Chris,
you know,
come along.
Yeah, come along. Well, and, you know, awesome. Sunday night, you couldn't get into much trouble, right, running around? So
not at all.
But it was fun. You know, I didn't really understand that, you know, my granddad was in charge of making whiskey. You know, at the time, I was just, it was just fun time to be with Papa, you know, and spend some time with him. And I can certainly remember, you know, the sights, the smells, and so going to work every day now, I've got his old wooden desk from his old office.
Oh, how cool is that?
It is. It's really cool. It's a special thing for sure.
And you talk about just making whiskey. You're making Jack Daniel's whiskey. I mean, that's the cool stuff right there.
Well, we think so. You know, Lynchburg, Tennessee is a town of only about 600 people, and, you know, there's a lot of families, not just myself and my granddad. You know, there's a lot of folks back home in Lynchburg that are great whiskey makers, and it's really, truly been passed down in our town from generation to generation.
Now, one of the world's most iconic brands. Let's first talk about the man himself, who Jack Daniel was.
Right. Well, Jack, he was born in Lynchburg as well. He was the youngest of 13 children in his family, and his mom actually passed away
very young age,
yes, as just a young child. And, you know, he didn't get along very well with his stepmother. And his father actually passed away again, you know, when he was still a boy. And he ended up running away, you know, not getting along with his stepmom. And he lived with the Call family. The Calls were a family there in Lynchburg. And Dan Call was the head of the house. And he was kind of a businessman. He had a farm and a still. He made whiskey. He ran a store. And he was also a minister at our Lutheran church.
I like the combination
there. Yeah. And so Jack, he learned, you know, as a young guy, learning the trade of making whiskey on Dan Call's farm. And it ended
when he was young.
Yes, absolutely.
He was very young.
Yeah, very young guy. And ended up getting that still from Dan Call because the church kind of gave Mr. Call the ultimate.
Hard time.
Yeah, they didn't think it was a good idea to do both. And so that's how Jack ended up on his own there in Lynchburg.
Now, the distillery is located in and around a hollow where spring flows from a limestone cave. Explain all that.
Right. Yeah, it's, you know, it's true. You know, you see these ads and everything, and people think, well, it must be some kind of Hollywood set or something, but it's not. It really is Lynchburg. It's a tiny town, 600 people. The distillery sits at the mouth of a cave spring. So there's a large hill, and kind of surrounded on three sides of a hill. That's what we call a hollow, or I guess a holler. You know, some people say a holler.
Holler, yeah.
But at the mouth of that is the cave spring. And so this spring, it comes from underground. So it's an underground water source. And this water, if you think about back in Jack's time, the mid-1800s, there was no city water system in Lynchburg, right?
No filtering at
all.
And
so the hard thing to find to make whiskey was good water. And so when he found that spring, That's when he set up shop there in 1866. He was about 16 years old when he did
that. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. Now, one of the original buildings at the distillery that dates back to the days of Jasper Daniel still stands there today, right?
It does. It does. We have one old building remaining, the old office building.
That's is it one you can go into, or is it one you just admire from the outside?
No, you get to go in.
Oh, that's
absolutely
cool.
We get tours every single day. Yeah. We have lots of visitors from all over the world that love. A lot of people from international countries, they plan their visit to the U.S., and Lynchburg, Tennessee is one of their premier stops. It's like Chicago,
terrific.
New York, and Lynchburg.
That's awesome.
It's funny.
That's awesome. Now, contrary to popular belief, Jack Daniel's being just one whiskey, there's actually multiple varieties of whiskey. Old Number 7, Tennessee Honey, Gentleman Jack, and Jack Daniel's Single Barrel, correct?
Right. Yep. Those are all variations of our whiskey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was looking at some of these facts here. The Jack Daniel's plant was only closed. It was closed a couple of times, once obviously for Prohibition. Did they make anything? Because a lot of these places that used to make whiskey made something else during Prohibition. Did they make anything else, or did they just shut it down at that time?
We did not. We completely shut down. And at that time, Jack had just passed away, and he had actually
passed it on to his nephews.
That's right. You got it. So.
And then during World War II, it was kind of a government thing that the resources needed to be redirected elsewhere.
Right. What happened there, sometime early mid-40s, the government started rationing grain. And, of course, whiskey being made from cereal grain. And in Lynchburg, we've only used number one grain, which is the most premium you can find. And back in World War II, they wouldn't let you distill and make alcohol out of number one grade corn. They wanted that to only go into food products. And so the Motlow family, Jack's nephew, said, hey, if we can't get number one grain, we're not going to make Jack Daniel's. And so that was the second time and the only other time we haven't made whiskey.
So Lem Motlow, his nephew, ran the business for really almost 40 years nonstop, right?
Right. Yes, we owe Mr. Lem Motlow a lot because, he was actually a state congressman in Tennessee. So when Prohibition was repealed in Tennessee, that was 1938. We were a little behind the time on the rest of the country there. Mm-hmm. But Mr. Lem Motlow, he was the one that was able to get our distilled spirits permit renewed to make whiskey because we're still actually in
a dry town.
Yeah,
I know that.
It's dry.
I know that. Wild.
Yep.
Wild. Now, according to Daniel's biographer that I read, the origin of the old number 7 was the number assigned to the distillery for government registration. Is that true?
There's a lot of stories on that, and I'll be honest with you. Nobody really knows the truth.
Okay.
I'll tell you, a
secret that died with Jack.
It did. I've heard people say, one day, hopefully, they're going to be able to meet Mr. Jack maybe in another life, and that'll be the first question they'll ask him. So, but we don't know the true story, the true meaning behind the number 7. So
now you're in this, 150 years. This is a 1,700-acre operation, about 435 workers, and you ship out 119 million bottles in a year.
Yeah, it's probably about right. When it gets to the bottling side of as a distiller, we're not that involved. So when you talk about quantities of bottles, I don't know. But barrels and things is kind of where we're at, in my end of the process.
So what are you doing every day? Like, what is a day like as a master distiller, assistant master distiller? What do you do every day?
Yeah, well, my role is I report to Jeff Arnett, our master distiller, Really, the best way to think about it is kind of a quality control position. We're there as a resource if there seems to be any issues or any variants or anything like that, we're there to taste the product, smell the product, make sure that the grain coming in maintains the quality, make sure that our barrels are being made with the quality that we want. Because at Jack Daniel's, we control everything that goes into the whiskey. So when we buy that grain and we source our grain out of the Midwest mostly, and once that comes into the distillery, we're doing all of our own work on all parts of the process. So we have our own yeast that we have people that keep our yeast fresh for our fermentation. We design our own stills and we make our own barrels. And so everything that goes into the flavor, the quality of the whiskey is purposefully done in Lynchburg to make Jack Daniel's what it is.
Now, is it true that you've got this single barrel whiskey that we're going to try after the break here, but the U.S. military buys the most of the brand's barrels of the single barrel whiskey, the military?
Right. The single barrel product, which folks can find in their local stores and also in local restaurants and things, Jack Daniel's single barrel, which is made from the same recipe, but the barrels are aged only on the top floors. And so that really enhances the barrel flavor. It brings up more oak and more sweet notes. And you can actually buy that product a barrel at a time. So you'll get about 250 bottles out of any one barrel.
About 10 grand maybe?
Yeah, 10 grand or really? Maybe a little right. north of there. It's probably, depending on tax, you know, okay. state tax, local tax, it will vary.
Yeah.
But the U.S. military is our number one single purchaser of whole single barrels. So, you know, we've had a longstanding history with the military, and we're certainly,
cool.
You know, we always tip our hats at our servicemen yeah. and women around the country
absolutely.
For sure.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, is it true at the distillery only 1 in 100 barrels makes the cut for the 94 proof single barrel whiskey? I mean, is that how...
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. It's about 1%. So, yeah, about 1 in 100. You're right on the money there.
Mm-hmm. Wow. The distillery was listed on the National Register of Historic Places back in 1972.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jack is made from corn, rye, malted barley, distilled in copper skills. Now, Jack Daniel's is made from corn, rye, malted barley, and it's distilled in copper stills. How does the process work? Like when you're making whiskey?
Sure. Well,
without any secrets, of course.
Oh yeah, no. You know, we're an open book. Well, you know, we're 80% corn, 12% malted barley, and 8% rye. You know, you can come to the distillery. You can see it all being done. I mean, you can meet the people that are making it every single day. And so we're very open with that. You know, I think that's one of the things that makes our brand, you know, authentic, and people love to come and see and experience it. But basically what you do is you take that corn, grind it up into a meal, and you cook it in our cave water.
A mash.
Right? You make a mash, mm-hmm. right. So we've cooked that corn in the cave water, and it's kind of like grits. I don't know
okay.
if you have grits. I mean,
yep.
down south, we eat grits.
You
I
do.
I don't know about Chicago.
Breakfast, absolutely. No, I hear you. I hear you.
But anyway, it's kind of like a corn pudding. So you get all that starchy goodness out of the corn, and that's what we're going to ferment later on. So then we'll take it. We'll add our rye. We'll grind the rye, add that just for a little spiciness, a little flavor. And then we'll cool it a little bit and add the malted barley. And that malted barley, you know, pretty much the same malted barley that go into a beer or something like that.
Okay.
But there's enzymes in malted barley that will break down the starches from the corn, because as you try to ferment a cereal grain with our yeast, and that literally creates the alcohol, starch will not be broken down, but we need the small, simple sugars that are made from starch. And so that's what malted barley does for us. It breaks down that cornstarch. And so then when we add our yeast, the yeast will feed on the sugar. It will make the alcohol, literally make the whiskey.
What it is, yeah.
Well, yeah, what it is, exactly. That's yeah. the birth of the alcohol. So it's about 11% alcohol. It's kind of like a corn beer. And then we just run that corn beer through our copper stills, which basically extracts the alcohol out of the beer. Because, you know, we don't sell beer, we're selling whiskey.
That's right,
so
that's
at,
right.
At
that's
that
right.
point, then it goes from 11% alcohol, we concentrate it up to 70% alcohol.
Wow. And how long is the process? Like if you're making a bottle of Jack Daniel's, a square bottle, by the way, how long does that take?
Well, it would definitely have to take more than 4 years, because the minimum aging process for any of our labels is 4 years. You know, the range is typically between 4 and 7 years. You know, a lot of people ask, well, they want to know exactly how old, you know, how many days old is it? Well, we don't really care, because we're just following these barrels. Once the whiskey is distilled, it's made, it's in the barrels. We're going to go in and sample those barrels every few months and track the flavor, the aroma, the color that's all coming from the wood of the barrel. A taster will decide when that whiskey's ready. So it will be somewhere between 4 and 7 years typically.
Why the square bottle? There's some lore behind that.
Yeah, there is some lore. You know, that goes back to Jack's day, which was very unusual. Square bottles in that day,
yeah.
you didn't see it all. Most of them were all round.
Yeah.
You know, the legend has it was that Jack wanted people to know that it was a square deal. He was a square shooter,
guy.
Right?
He was honest.
You're getting a square deal. You could trust that these goods were worth the price charged, right? So that's what he wanted people to think about his product.
All right. When we come back, we're going to talk about the varieties that Jack Daniel's has to offer with Jack Daniel's Assistant Master Distiller Chris Fletcher. Next on 720 WGN.
Guess every Superman has got his krypton. Jack Daniel's kicked my ass.
It's Dave Flyer on 720 WGN, and we're talking to Chris Fletcher, Jack Daniel's Assistant Master Distiller, to celebrate the distillery's 150th anniversary. All right, so you have brought some beautiful bottles in here today. Tell me a little bit, actually, about all the different varieties that Jack Daniel's offers.
Right. Well, we have the original kind of recipe, the old number 7 that I think most people are most familiar with. And we use that recipe, our Tennessee whiskey recipe of 80% corn, 12% malted barley, and 8% rye.
I just gave you a wow when I took a little sniff.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the aroma is a big part of what you're tasting. That's part of the experience for sure. But, you know, what we're able to do with that one recipe, depending on what type of barrel we're using, where we put that barrel in our barrel houses and things like that, we can drive different flavors because at that point, Mother Nature is pretty much in control. However, we make all of our own barrels. You know, we're the only whiskey maker in the world that's making our own barrels. And if you look, you know, you've got the sample there, your glass, all of that color is 100% natural. We don't. There's no additives in Jack Daniel's. It's all straight from the barrel. There's no sugar added. There's no flavor added. There's no coloring added. So that's all natural coming from the wood of the barrel. That's why we make our own barrel.
They all have their own distinct, you know, aroma.
They do.
Every one of them.
They do.
Yeah.
And it's about what we can do as whiskey makers and putting the whiskey into the barrel and then allowing Mother Nature to also kind of create that art of the whiskey. So that's the thing I really like about whiskey making. I'm a chemist by trade. There's only so much science, though, that we can put into this.
Sure.
You know, a lot of it is truly art, and I think it always will be.
Gentleman Jack, tell me about Gentleman Jack.
Gentleman Jack, this is the lightest whiskey that we make. So generally the barrels that we take out of the barrel houses are going to be on lower floors. So we don't want a lot of barrel character. We want more of the natural sweet notes.
You talked about the floors before. Why the lower floors? Like, explain that.
Right, because of the heat variation.
Oh, okay.
So it stays cooler down at the bottom. It gets much warmer up at the top. So cooler floors on the bottom. So what will happen is with less heat, you won't have as much interaction of whiskey absorbing into the wood.
Makes sense.
Right?
Okay.
On the top, however, when it gets really hot, that whiskey will expand because it gets hotter.
Sure.
And it will soak into the wood further.
Yeah. Yeah.
That pulls out more color, more flavor.
Nice.
So this is more of a delicate whiskey, Gentleman Jack. And then we also charcoal mellow Gentleman Jack a second time. All Jack Daniel's is charcoal mellowed, right? Tennessee whiskey is charcoal mellowed.
It is so smooth.
Right. That's the difference between Tennessee whiskey and bourbon. We make bourbon, then we filter it through 10 feet of maple charcoal. We make our own charcoal by hand at the distillery.
Wow.
We don't go to the supermarket.
You don't have any Kingsford? No Kingsford?
No Kingsford, no.
Okay, good.
No, it's not what we want for making whiskey. We make our own charcoal at the distillery.
Yeah.
And so when we drip slowly, it takes about 3 days to get whiskey through 10 feet of this charcoal. When it comes out the bottom, it's still clear as water, just like it was when it came off the still. This is before the barrel.
Okay.
And now it's Tennessee whiskey, though. And so what this charcoal does, it absorbs a lot of the corn flavor, the graininess, kind of the oily flavor.
Sure.
That's not what we really want in our product. And if you nose the Jack Daniel's, you get kind of a fruity nose, maybe a little banana.
Yeah.
That's being made by our yeast, right? That's a flavor that our yeast provides. And by the charcoal mellowing process of lifting some of that corn off of it, it allows that nice sweet Jack Daniel's aroma to come through.
It's lovely.
Yeah,
it's
so
absolutely lovely.
The Gentleman Jack's very light, very soft.
You have to have a little bit. You've been talking. You got to have a little bit of that. Then you've got these, and by the way, beautiful bottles as well. And I love the packaging and all the stuff you do, especially the Sinatra one that came out last year. You've got the Jack Daniel's Single Barrel Select. Tell me a little bit about this because I know that's very special.
Single barrel select, absolutely. As you were mentioning, it's only 1% of the barrels will end up qualifying as that. Same recipe as the Gentleman Jack we just tasted. However, you can see it's a darker color.
Yes.
That's because these barrels are only coming from the very top. Right.
Gotcha.
Only coming from the top floor. So you can automatically see you're getting a lot more barrel extraction, right? You're getting more flavor from the wood into the whiskey. And when you taste it, it's much richer. You get more of almost a butterscotch.
Yeah, but I was just going to say butterscotch.
Butterscotch, exactly, caramel, vanilla, all those sweet brown notes that are from the wood of the barrel. It's like I say, there's no sugar, there's no sweeteners added. It's all natural. This is Mother Nature here.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. And then the rye, that's new?
It is. This is a brand new product. It's just been released probably, I'd say, within the last 30 days. This is a straight rye whiskey. So when you talk straight rye whiskey, now you go from a corn-based whiskey, which is Tennessee whiskey, to a whiskey that has to be at least 51% rye. Now, we experimented. We started making rye whiskey about 5 years ago, maybe a little more. And we did some 51%. We didn't think it was quite what we wanted. You know, we thought about, well, maybe we should go like 95%, but we thought that would be a little too spicy. We wanted complexity. We wanted balance and complexity in our rye whiskey. So we decided on 70% rye. We felt like it gives us a nice balance of a nice familiar Jack Daniel's sweetness. And even on the nose, when you smell it, you get that essence of Jack Daniel's, that kind of sweet note on the nose.
You do right away. Yeah.
But when you taste it, when it hits the mid palate, that's when the rye spice is going to really kick in. And then it's going to finish very clean and very quick.
Very clean.
Yeah.
Very clean.
Yeah, very,
very cool.
Different experience. That's where the rye comes in.
Beautiful. Beautiful stuff. Now, Sinatra Select, I talked about this last year when we had Sinatra's manager and one of his closest friends on the show, and we talked about, you know, how much Frank loved Jack Daniels. I mean, that he was buried with a bottle of Jack
was,
Daniels.
Yeah.
But tell us a little bit about this, because I know it's 90 proof, and it's really one of a kind, and it's a limited edition.
It is. We started that just a couple of years ago as a way to tribute the relationship between Frank and Jack. And, you know, Mr. Sinatra was introduced to the brand in the late 40s, we think early 50s. Legend has it by Jackie Gleason. And he just fell in love with the product.
Interesting.
And if you think about it, back in the early 50s, Jack Daniels was pretty much just a regional brand. We were very small. You know, it wasn't like you could just walk into any bar in Chicago and order a Jack. You probably couldn't find it. Our product was actually on an allocation from 1938 after Prohibition until almost 1980.
Wow.
I
wouldn't have imagined
we
that.
We were very small back then. Yeah. And so, you know, Mr. Sinatra falls in love with it, calls it the nectar of the gods. The next year, our sales are, you know, up 200%. You know, it's not so easy to just make a lot more whiskey. You have to age it. You're right. Mother Nature has a big say.
You got to catch up almost.
You've got to catch up. Yeah. So years and years and years of trying to catch up. But the thing about the relationship with Frank and Jack is it's authentic. He was never a paid spokesperson. He truly loved our brand. Now, we did have our first ever Jack Daniel's salesman, Mr. Angelo Lucchese, who was from Memphis, Tennessee.
All right.
First ever Jack salesman, also an Italian-American. He and Mr. Sinatra were very good buddies. And so Angelo made sure Frank always had some Jack Daniels on his plane everywhere he was going. So
that's awesome. And we'll do a little toast to Frank Sinatra Jr., who just passed away
recently.
Yeah,
absolutely. So, absolutely. Very sad to hear
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. So much going on to celebrate the 150th anniversary of the Jack Daniels Distillery. And for more, really, on all the events and on Jack Daniels himself, simply visit jackdaniels.com. Assistant Master Distiller Chris Fletcher. What a thrill and what a great story. Some great storytelling here.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate you hanging out.
Glad to be in Chicago. Love the city. So.
And again, people want to go do tours. They can get down to Lynchburg. You know, fly into Nashville. It's about 45-minute drive, and you can do your own tour there, too.
That's right. Yep. 7 days a week, we're open. Absolutely.
Very cool. Thanks again, pal.
Thank you.
All right. Much more ahead on 720 WGN.